When David said to me, "Seek my face," your face, Lord, I said I would what? I would seek. So we want to seek the face of the Lord. And what does that mean? It means to seek the presence of God. Amen? Okay, I'll try that one more time. To seek his face means to seek the presence of the Lord. All right? So we got to get past ceremony and external things that we do. Amen? To the substance, which is Christ. Amen? If we have Jesus, hallelujah, amen? If we touch the heart of God, if God touches us, that's what it's all about. Amen? Nothing else matters. Because if we don't have Jesus, we don't have anything. There's no hope. And some folks, they don't quite get that yet. They don't understand that yet, but there was a time when I didn't get it either. There was a time when I sat in church and I looked around and wondered what all these people are doing and what this is all about, and I didn't know the one they were really worshiping. And the enemy had successfully distracted me with so many lesser things that I missed out the main event, amen, and the main person that we were here for. And now that I've encountered and had, you know, him touch my heart and change my heart and my life and come to live within me now, hallelujah, I'll never go back. Now I know what those crazy people are all about. You know, as we said before, we have a new normal now. What used to be abnormal is now normal for me, right? The normal of the world is now abnormal. Now I say, what was I thinking when I used to live like that, you know? So how many of you know what I'm talking about today? You're going back, looking back and say, why did I do that? And you remember Jesus from the cross. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So we need to keep that in mind, folks, when we look at the people who are not in Christ as of yet. And understand, amen, by the mercy of God, we are saved. And it's by God's goodness that we're brought to repentance. And Lord, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for your sacrifice for us, Lord. Are you willing to lay down your life? And Lord, that we can know you, the author and the finisher of our faith, our creator, the God who created us and with purpose and in love, Father, you are not willing that anyone should perish. But God, that we would return to you. And we can come today confidently by the blood of Jesus, Lord, a new living way. And we can come to you, Father, and know, my God, that you shall supply all my need. Everything I have need of is in you, God. But Lord, not just to seek your hand and the things that you could do for me, but to seek your very presence, to know you, that I may know your voice, that I might be able to discern your voice. For you said your sheep hear your voice. And you know them. They follow you. And you give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Lord, we're looking to you. Our hope, our confidence is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood. And your righteousness, Lord, in you we are righteous. Oh God, teach us how to find rest in you. Lord, I know in this world there are so many troubles and so much stress. But God, you've invited us into a place of comfort, into a place of real peace, lasting peace, into a place, Lord, where there is joy, even in the midst of trouble, God. Because it's not the joy that the world gives, but it's your eternal joy. Oh God, it's not the peace that the world gives, but your peace, Lord. The peace that passes all understanding, the peace that can guard our hearts and our minds and keep us from going insane, God. Hallelujah, Lord. There's no reason for us, Lord, to fall apart. All we need to do is run to the one who can keep it all together for us. Hallelujah. The same God who spoke us into existence is the same God who can keep us together. Hallelujah. And we look to you today, Lord. And God, I just pray that each one of us will realize the value of having you and what you've allowed us to do by giving us permission now by your precious blood to come into your throne of grace. Oh, hallelujah. God is so good, isn't He good? Lord, thank You for Your presence today. Thank You for Your mercies. God, I don't want to do anything without You. Lord, I don't want to jump out ahead of You and speak anything foolish today. I pray, God, that You would be with me, guide me. Put a guard on my lips, I will speak nothing hurtful. But that, Lord, which is good for us, that You would give me ears to hear Your voice, Lord, I may speak the truth in love. And Lord, that will bear fruit, that our hearts will be changed, our minds will be renewed, and our souls will be restored. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, guess what today is? Don't think, overthink it, right? So why not do a Mother's Day message today, right? And share, because, you know, we don't talk about moms enough. We don't talk about parenting enough. I know I don't. So I want to take advantage of the opportunity today just to share some things, some principles, some of these things that you're fully aware of. Others we may need to be reminded. I know I need to be reminded of what God has said. That's why we need to continue in the Word. Amen. And otherwise, we get dull. You got to keep working that sword, amen? So God has given us truth, and truth is light. And where the light is, the darkness can no longer abide. And so we need the light of God's truth, amen, to penetrate into our hearts so that we are changed by it. And you know, a sword, the Word of God is like a double-edged sword, amen? And it's likened to a surgical instrument. And so, in a surgeon has a very, very sharp instrument, doesn't he? A scalpel that he uses. Because he doesn't want to, he wants to be able to carefully cut out that which doesn't belong. Amen? And yet, in any time there's a surgery, there's pain involved. You know? But the pain is necessary. Amen? For healing to come. You have to remove the ugly, the bad, the wrong. Amen? So that you'll be in a position, hallelujah, to receive the healing and to grow healthy in the Lord. A lot of Christians walk around demon infested. I'm not talking possessed, but infested in their hearts and their minds. They're not having victory, you know, and they keep going up and down like a roller coaster. They don't become stable because sometimes they're not aware, first of all, that there is true freedom available to them in Christ. And that God's Word indeed is that surgical instrument that can remove those things out of our lives. You know, you don't always have to lay hands on somebody and cast demons out. Amen. There's times when you speak the truth. Amen. And the truth itself is that sword. Amen. That will just squeeze out or press out or drive out the enemy. Hallelujah. And so the Word of God is powerful, isn't it? And that's why we need to understand that we need to be listening to the Word of God. Amen. Not be hearers only, but doers of the Word. So we're not being deceived. And you know, Mother's Day isn't necessarily an ordinance that, you know, of the church. Like communion or the Lord's Supper, you know, the maybe the washing of feet in some circles. Or water baptism is an ordinance, you know, that we practice in the church. But mothers are very important. How many know, like Annie had just read, that if it wasn't for a mother, amen, we wouldn't have had a Savior. Hallelujah. Amen. And before we even get started, let me just say that men and women are equal in value. Amen. But different in roles. And that's the difference, amen? It's not like one is lesser than the other. It's that God has created us differently to be together as one unit, amen? So I can't be a very good mother, and a woman can take the place of a father, but she's not going to be as effective as a father, amen? So God created us unique with specific roles, and if we would work together in those roles and understand where I fit in this and how I should function within a marriage can be very healthy and the children will grow up healthy as a result. The problem is that we decide to listen to other philosophies, demonic, you know, doctrines of the world that say, oh, you don't need to follow those old antiquated rules, and, you know, the Bible was written by men and therefore it can't be trusted, and you know, oh, you don't need to discipline your children anymore. Just let Johnny raise himself. He'll be just fine. Yeah. I think we got Johnny out on the street today having a temper tantrum. And I think Johnny needs an attitude adjustment. How about you? But we set one day aside each year to remember, at least, you know. How many know that your mom and your wife should be celebrated every day? Amen. You should be honoring them anyways. You know, well, all right, I guess once a year we can honor the old lady and, you know. I was just saying what you were thinking. No, I'm kidding. But the reason why we should honor our parents is because they are an authority that God has placed in our lives. And if we are under authority, then we have legitimate authority. Amen? Illegitimate authority is rogue authority. Amen? That's not under authority. You know, where there's no accountability anywhere. You know, but parents are supposed to be, amen, a blessing to the children. They're supposed to train and equip and raise up the children the way they should go. And there's no perfect parents here. And so because sometimes we don't know what that looks like, we don't understand God's ways, we do the best we can to raise our children in our own wisdom. But the Bible says, don't be wise in your own understanding. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Amen. Quit trying to just figure it out on your own. Listen to what God is saying. Listen to the Word of God. Amen. This word works, guys. Hallelujah. If you raise up a child in the way they should go when they're old, they will not depart from it. Amen. It doesn't mean that they're not going to waver along the way, but it means that if you have established them in the truth, amen, when they were young, you taught them, you were an example to them, amen, when they get older, they're going to remember. Hallelujah. I'm an example of that. I was a prodigal, but God's faithful to His Word. And I thank God that I had a praying mother. I wasn't thankful back in the day, but I am now. Because I know sometimes those prayers were like, you know, I wanted to do something and I couldn't because of those prayers. And you know what? We need to be gracious and forgiving. Even to mothers, fathers as well, who didn't know better. They tried their best in their own understanding because that's all they had to go by. But now that we know the truth, amen, now that we have access to the truth, we should be wise and listen to what God says because He's always right. Well, God, I don't agree what you did, you know, or how you did it. Well, God's always right. That's pretty arrogant to think that way. And I don't know about you, but I've wondered sometimes, a few times in my life, why did God do things that way? How many beside myself have ever questioned that? All right, we're going to have an altar call right after the service. Yeah, for honesty here. Okay. I think we've all wondered why. Sure, we've asked questions. And sometimes God speaks to us and tells us why, other times not. Have you ever had your parents tell you when you were growing up, because I said so? I hated that. Why? Because I said so. Sometimes we do need to explain to our children why we're doing what we do. Amen. In fact, most of the time. And, you know, God has already answered so many of your questions right here. Amen. Hallelujah. If we're wise, if we want to get a hold of God's Word and hide it in our heart, so we'll be wise. Amen. We won't sin against Him. But God promises to bless those who obey Him. Deuteronomy 5:16. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long, that you may live long on the earth, and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And the Apostle Paul mentioned the same in Ephesians 6:1, where he said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And you know, There's really no other commandment given to children except this. One commandment. Are you listening to me, young people that are still under the roof of your parents? You need to pay attention. God says, honor your mother and your father. It doesn't mean you have to agree with them all the time, but understand that they are authority in your life. And how you treat them is how you're treating the Lord who placed them there. And if you want it to go well in your life, if you want to live long on the earth, there is a promise of long life if you honor your mother and your father. First commandment with a promise. Amen. Children, what? Obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Verse 3, that it may be well with you. And you may live long on the earth. And guys, it's not too late to change. Amen. My parents are still my parents. They're in their 80s, mid-80s now. But if I go home, I'm under their roof. Amen. They're my parents. Amen. I need to respect them and respect their authority. Hallelujah. Besides, I don't want to live in a motel. I want to live in, you know, I like to stay there. So, but how many know mothers have a tremendous responsibility in the home? And that, you know, moms, you have such a huge impact on not only your children, but even your husband. And, you know, husbands need their wives. Amen. Can you say, guys, amen? All right. We need our wives. I know I do. You know, together we balance things out, and she keeps me, you know, in line at times, you know, and vice versa. You know, either one of us, we can get off or get on to some tangent or have some idea that may not be all that smart. And, you know, I realize that my wife is smarter than I gave her credit for. She knows quite a bit, you know, and God has given her wisdom as well within the relationship so that we would need each other and we need to listen to each other. The longer we've been married, the more I listen to my wife now. When I was a young man, you know, I knew it all. So I didn't need to listen to her. She didn't know what she was talking about. Because every thought that I had was right. Amen. It's kind of like the new Christian who thinks every thought they get is from God, right? Well, it's got to be God because I thought it. All right. When you get out of diapers, maybe you'll realize that, you know, you haven't really heard the voice of God. You're still full of yourself a lot. And I don't know about you, but I'm still dealing with myself on a daily basis. Now, we need to keep ourselves in check. Amen. You need to deny that other part of you that wants to rebel against the will of God for you. It's called daily dying, right? Dying daily, like Paul said. And you have life and peace in the spirit when you do that. Amen. Whatever you think you're going to lose, you don't lose with God. You always gain. Whatever you give up for God, you always gain something better in its place. You're giving up the inferior for the superior. But Abraham Lincoln said this. I use this quote a lot, but no man is poor who has a godly mother. Even though he grew up in a very poor home, he had a godly mother, so he was rich. Amen. Because, you know, godliness with contentment is great gain. Hallelujah. So, by the way, the title of the message is The Value of a Godly Mother, and I stole it from last year because I thought, hey, you just can't get better than that. The Value of a Godly Mother. Now, here's some instructions to parents. Are you ready, moms and dads? Maybe you know this, maybe you don't, but I'm going to go ahead and repeat it for our remembrance, okay? To remind ourselves, train up a child in the way he should go. Proverbs 26, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This was a life verse that my mom gave me when I was a kid. And it's interesting how God in time brought me around, you know. He had to put his thumb down on me pretty hard, get my attention. Amen? Because I was stubborn. But I'm so glad that he did. I'm glad that we have a Father in heaven who loves us enough to discipline us. Amen? It's not always pleasant at the time, but later you say, Lord, I know I needed that. I needed that adjustment, all right? And listen, parents, we should never give the training of our children solely over to the school. Amen? The school system, or solely even to Sunday school or church. Some parents, the only time their kids are getting the word is when they go maybe to Sunday school, you know, or to church. Meanwhile, they're getting bombarded, you know, 7 days a week with everything, all the filth of the world. Amen. And I know that, you know, we have to guard our children. It's our responsibility to protect them. Amen. Until they're mature enough to be able to discern and make the right choices in life. I know some people, they don't put any restraints on what their children are watching. They don't know what they're watching. They don't know what they're looking on their phone. I mean, we're responsible for that child. Amen. God does hold us accountable for these little ones. His heart is on them and His eye is upon those little ones. And Jesus said their angels always do show their face before my Father in heaven. They have representatives. Amen. And those that think that they're going to go out and abuse children, well, Jesus said it would be better that a millstone were hung around their neck and they were cast into the bottom of the ocean than to cause one of these little ones that believe in me to stumble. And so we got to be very careful, you know. I've made mistakes even with my daughter as far as sometimes being too harsh with discipline. And, you know, but I loved her and I wanted the best for her, you know. But as we grow in the Lord and we learn the grace of God, amen, God begins to bring some balance into our lives, amen. And we begin to realize, well, if it wasn't for God's grace in my own life, amen, where would I be today? And I realize as the older we get, the more we realize how merciful and gracious God really is, amen. You know, when I was a young whippersnapper, even in ministry, and I was starting out, I could browbeat you down into the sawdust, you know, about what you weren't doing right and all the wrong. And you know, we need to preach the truth, but we need to preach the truth in love and grace, amen, with gentleness and respect, too. Amen. And so I thought I was doing sometimes people a favor. In some cases, guys, we need a stern rebuke. Amen. We just need to be clear and concise, right? But there's other times, you know, when we just need to be gracious and we need to overlook an offense. There's times when our children make a mistake. Amen. That you can say, well, next time don't do that. All right. Give them a break. I can remember, I've talked about this before, but when I had messed up more than once growing up, my mom always had this line, wait till your father comes home. Oh, man. Struck fear in your heart. And I can remember hearing them big feet, 6'4", boom, boom, coming up the steps. And I'm in bed, cowering under the blankets. He did what? He said what? But my dad loved me. You know, sometimes he was hard on me, but sometimes I needed it. Are you hearing me, somebody? But I know there's other times when he was gracious and just said, okay, you know what you did already. He could see the look in my face that I already learned my lesson. So the chastisement wasn't necessary. Are you hearing me, somebody? But if you ever did one of those things, of course, you never did this. That didn't hurt. Oh, yeah? We'll step it up a little bit here. And that spanking, you know, would come. I learned not to say that. I learned how to exaggerate it. Oh! I haven't even started yet. But, you know, that's what many of this generation are lacking, is they didn't have the discipline growing up. And so they have no respect for authority, and they don't have any self-control. Because they never had to control themselves about anything. They just did whatever they felt like doing. They want to throw a fit in the store. They threw a fit. They wanted to talk back to their parents. They talk back. And what do? Now they talk back to the police. They talk back to the authorities. Because we're so smart. We think we're smarter than God. Amen. And we don't need God's word to guide us in life. And the devil has effectively destroyed so many young people who just live an undisciplined life. No self-control. So discipline to a child teaches them self-discipline so they can learn how to control themselves. We need to be careful to deposit the right things in our children. I mean, I've known some, and it wasn't my mom, but I've known some women who, again, because they didn't know better, they constantly yelled and nagged their children. Yell, 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 nag, nag, nag. We had a neighbor like that, that we were a block and a half away, and I could hear her voice yelling out this boy's name. And, of course, that messed that kid up because he never got any praise. He never got any building up. He just got slammed every time he did something wrong. There has to be a balance somewhere. Amen? God's Word is our perfect balance. Do things according to the truth. Amen? And let the Holy Spirit be your guide in what you're doing and every decision you make. Trust the Lord. Rely upon Him for counsel. I don't just give people my counsel. I pray, Lord, give me your counsel that I can share with others. Amen. We need to bless and encourage and discipline our children. In Galatians 6:7, you know this well, but do not be deceived, because God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And so the type of seed that we invest or that we plant is a type of harvest or the type of fruit that we will reap. So you're either going to sow life or sow death into your family. We're going to sow life or death wherever we go. We have to guard our mouth. Amen. And that thing is unruly, isn't it? It's hard to tame. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the grace of God, we have this thing called self-control. So if I will walk in the Spirit, amen, and stay built up in the Holy Spirit, that outer man's not going to rule me. And even though I may feel like using some choice words at times, I say no to that old man. Amen? I don't allow that old man to speak up. Instead, I cooperate with the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, we're going to do this together. I'm going to bless and not curse. I'm going to forgive. Amen? I'm going to show mercy and grace to people. Even though they don't deserve it, I didn't deserve it either. But it was God's goodness. So death and life, Proverbs 18:21, are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And I always like to mention this, you know, Timothy, when Paul the Apostle, who was his father in the Lord, he had mentored him and he was giving him instruction. He said in 2 Timothy 1:3, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, speaking to Timothy, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers day or night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance, here it is, the genuine faith that is in you. Here it is, which what dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded is in you also. What is he saying? He said, you are influenced by your grandmother and your mother. And the faith that's in you is a result of their obedience to God and the example that they showed you. And so because of this investment, Timothy led many people to the Lord. He made many disciples for Jesus. Now, in the case where the father is absent, it is possible for a child to be raised properly, but it's certainly more difficult. You know, and the statistics prove that. You know, I heard one statistic that 80% of young men incarcerated are without fathers. They grew up in fatherless homes. So there's something to be said about the family unit and the way God designed things and the roles that we each have and how we need to work together in agreement with God's will, amen, within the family unit. If a mother does what she's supposed to do and a father does what he's supposed to do, they will work together as a team. Amen. And they'll be able to raise children that are healthy, that are well-balanced, that are not confused in their mind as to their gender and all this other stuff that's going on today. Yeah, I just said that. Let God be true and every man a liar. A dedicated mother, grandmother, has a great impact on her family. You know, because when you see this, when you read this, you don't see any mention of Timothy's father here. So we don't know why he wasn't mentioned. But I want to also read something that I share every year, just out of respect of my own mother, to honor her. And she gave me a booklet entitled A Mother's Love. And it contained a section where she had filled in the blanks. And here are a few things that she wrote. And number one is, a message I gave my children often. Behave yourself. Be a good boy. Meaning she had to say that a lot, often. But she said, behave yourself. Be a good boy. Okay. Something I wished I told them. Your father and I are glad we had you. Yeah? The best advice I gave my children, make the world a better place for others. Make the world a better place for others. And the most valuable thing I gave my children, Christ. Thank you. Amen. Bless you. And guys, no matter what your past has been, no matter what kind of family you grew up in, God is in the restoration business. He's in restoring lives. Amen. Broken hearts, broken lives, broken marriages, broken families. God can do it. Hallelujah. We just need to start listening to what he's saying. Amen. Get your instruction from him and not from CNN. Not from Oprah. Get your wisdom, your counsel from the Spirit of God. Amen. The Word of God. Hallelujah. So be careful what you're investing in your children, because what you sow is what's going to come back. But what we want to do is we want to empower our children. You don't want to just do everything for your kids, but you want to teach them responsibility so you can empower them to be productive citizens. Amen. And to be productive in the kingdom, most importantly, as we mentor and we instruct them. And I, when Judy was growing up, I know I could have done more, but I did try at least to make an attempt to teach her the Word, you know, and instill the principles of God's Word in her when she was young. Because I knew what had happened in my own life, and I knew the value and the importance of that. And guys, if you have young children here, amen, pay attention to what they're doing, amen. Be involved in their life and sow into them the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. Because the Word of God will not return void. Amen. It will accomplish what He sets it forth to do. Hallelujah. But you want to empower your children so that they will reach their God-given destiny. And it should enable them to accomplish the will of God for their lives. Now, here's some good things you can sow into your children. Number one, I already said it. The Scripture, the Word of God, amen? Because what the truth does is it arms them to fight against darkness. It helps them discern between right and wrong, okay, good and evil. And it keeps them free from demonic infestation, because the enemy works through deception to get into somebody's life. He comes in through the areas of darkness and the areas where there's no revelation or light or truth. Amen. He comes into those places. That's why we need to sow the truth into one another, into our children. Amen. So that the devil has no place to occupy. Amen. Because we're full of the Word and we're full of the truth. Amen. The light of Christ. Hallelujah. And of course, it's our sword, isn't it? The sword of our spirit. We defeat the enemy by the truth. Hallelujah. It's really a truth war, isn't it? Who's going to control your mind? Who's going to be in charge? Hallelujah. So it serves as a roadmap to help them reach their destiny. 2 Timothy 3:16, how many remember this one? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Amen. How about faith? We can sow faith into one another, into our children. Amen. These are the things that... This is like with God, all things are possible. There's nothing that God cannot do. How big is your God? Amen. You know, if we shrink God in our imagination, then that's going to be the limit to what we can see happen in our lives. The devil is always trying to shrink God and make himself look bigger. He's always trying, he's a narcissist. He's always trying to make himself look better and bigger than God who's created all things. And people believe that lie. But we sow faith, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. So we've got to be in the Word, amen, and we need to be prayerful. When you're in the Word, don't just read the Bible, but prayerfully read the Bible. Pray and invite the Holy Spirit into that and say, Lord, teach me, lead me into truth, amen. I want to know the truth. Hallelujah. And don't worry about it if you don't understand something. It may be that God is not ready to reveal that to you yet. It may be that you're not ready for that yet. It may be that you're 5 years old and you're not ready for the car keys yet. You've heard that one before. Faith. Without faith, it's what? Impossible to please Him. Hebrews 11:6. Children need to witness true faith in the Lord from their parents. Guys, our kids need to see us standing in faith. They need to see that example. What are we going to do? How are we going to pay the bills? Well, we're going to believe God. We're going to cry out to the Lord. We're going to listen to His instruction. Amen. God will make a way. Hallelujah. Sometimes God will give you instruction. Sometimes God will be silent. But you still call upon the Lord. Amen. And ask God for help. And hallelujah. Sometimes when God has been silent, all of a sudden something will show up in the mail. Or somebody will come knocking on the door and say, God told me to give this to you. They need to see faith in action. That we're believing God. Amen. How many know our hope and our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth? Amen. We have to go higher than the government. See, the government wants to become the people's God and enslave everybody and become a welfare state. God is into independence and freedom, personal liberty, and diligence and hard work. Come on, somebody. Amen. So another good seed is God's love. Sow God's love and compassion, especially compassion towards others. 1 John 3:18, dear children, let us not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And of course, that word for love is agape. It's not the kind of love that I just feel loved. It's that God has used me as an instrument of His love. And He expresses His love through me. And it's unidirectional love. It's not one that's conditional. It's a love that says, I love you whether you love me back. I can love an enemy by the love of God, but I can't apart from the love of God. You see, amen. The eros love says, oh yeah, you know, you did what? You said what? Vengeance, right? But the love of God says, Father, forgive them. For they don't know. Guys, I have to remind myself sometimes when I'm looking around in our world and I see the stuff, the crazy stuff going on, even in our government. And I need to remember to pray, amen, for the repentance. God, bring them to repentance. Lord, I pray the fear of God come upon them. And bring them to their knees, God. That they'll know that You are God, hallelujah, that they might be saved. The Lord wants them saved too. I know some of them are reprobate, but we don't know who they are. God knows that. We simply need to pray for our authorities. Amen. Because God can change hearts. God can turn a heart on a dime. Amen. God can make people go out and eat grass if necessary. Amen. Get an attitude adjustment and come back with a whole different perspective. Say, you God and I'm not. Hallelujah. Take a look at the book. Amen. It's in there. Hallelujah. How about sowing an example of responsibility? Strong work ethic in our children. By example. You know, you've heard it said, do as I say, not as I do. No, we want to say, do as I do, and as I say, both. Respect. Responsibility. Romans 12:10 says, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. In verse 11, this is a New Living Translation. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. So we should be sowing into our children. Also an example of integrity. Perseverance. When your children see you cheat or tell little white lies, they learn to do likewise. I knew I had friends growing up whose parents had sticky fingers. You know what that means, right? They like to take things that weren't theirs. And so they learned from their parents that it's okay to steal because my parents did it. So what we're sowing in our children eventually will come to fruition. So we want to be people of integrity. We want our children. I know my daughter was good when she was young and keeping me accountable. And I sometimes get my facts mixed up. It wasn't a deliberate thing. My gray matter wasn't always working right. So I get my facts mixed up, you know, and I'd be telling somebody something about whatever it was. But she would be quick to say, but Daddy, you said, or this is the truth about that. You ever have any kids do that to you? You got your facts mixed up and they were quick to make sure you got corrected. Yeah. Thank God for that. As long as you didn't do it deceitfully, amen, with the intent. A lie is comes with the intent to deceive somebody, amen. It's not getting your facts mixed up or forgetting something. It's when you intentionally try to deceive somebody. That's a lie. Now, the disciples, you know, these were godly men. They set examples for the church. In 2 Timothy 3:10, Paul said, but you have carefully followed my doctrine or teaching, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, and perseverance. So Paul was an example to Timothy. In verse 10 in the New Living Translation, it says, but you, Timothy, certainly know what I teach, how I live, and what my purpose in life is. You know my faith, my patience, my love, and my endurance. These are all qualities that come from Christ. These are all the things that come from the Spirit of God. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit is what is pleasing to the Father. Amen. He wasn't just out acting like somebody that was nice. As a matter of fact, Jesus wasn't always nice. Ask the money changers. But he was truthful. And he cared. And he loved. Amen. And what Jesus did was disciplinary. Because he cared. Because he loved. Are you hearing me? The same thing is true. God first disciplines. God speaks softly at first, and then he has to speak up a little louder each time if we're not listening. Till he gets our attention because he cares and he doesn't want to lose us. Are you at a place in your life where you have said, I'm done with me. I'm done with my ways. I'm ready to go with Jesus. If my idea doesn't line up with God's word, throw it out. God's much smarter than I am. I realize that now. I was so much older then, I'm younger than that now. So moms, listen, never give up on your family. Moms that persevere, pray. Pray them through. Amen. Eventually what you sow, you will reap. Psalms 126, verse 5, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Verse 6, he who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Hallelujah. Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary, what? While doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Hallelujah. Remember this, 2 Corinthians 9:8, God is able to make all grace abound to you. Amen. Parents, moms, dads, children, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. A what? An abundance for every good work. See, we can do this because the Lord is the one who enables us to, who gives us the strength to do it. 2 Corinthians 9:10, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown. So God can take a little seed that you've sown and multiply it. You may sow a seed into somebody's heart today, somebody's life. You may speak a word to somebody today that God gives you to speak to them, amen? You may not think much about it. It may just be a little seed, amen? But man, God knows how to multiply one seed. That person can take that seed and say, wow, that was good, thank you. And then they run into somebody else. They share it to them with them, and on it goes. There's a chain reaction in the Spirit, and on it goes, amen? So don't ever think that your labor in the Lord is in vain, and that you don't have anything to give or to sow. Guys, when you get to heaven, you're going to see the full picture, amen, of everything that you've done in your life. Hallelujah. God's going to reveal it all. And that which remains is that which we have done in obedience to the voice of God. Amen. We were people who said, Lord, you're right. We're going to agree with you. And this commandment is to love. How do you love? That's what's going to last. Amen. Those things that you've done by the love of Christ, in obedience to His voice, are the things that remain. The things that we've done out of selfish ambition to promote and advance or bring attention to ourselves, those things are wood, hay, and stubble. Amen? We got to get self out of the picture, amen, and make Jesus the center. Hallelujah. The foundation of everything. Hallelujah. And to God belongs the glory. Amen? It's by the things that He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life for an atonement for sin. And open the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give Him the glory. Great things He has done. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. All praise to Him who reigns above in majesty supreme, who gave Himself for man to die that He might man redeem. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. He's able to make all grace abound to you. Hallelujah.